Today's shir is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph on the top line. Levi says the Gemara. Levi ikla lebava b'chamesa b'tishrei. Levi who was from Eretz Yisrael arrived in Bavel on the 11th day in Tishrei. The people in Bavel considered that day 11 days in Tishrei. Omar, and he saw that since, as far as the people who lived in Bavel were concerned, today was not Yom Kippur, so they ate as they do on a regular day. Omar, and he commented, Basim Tavshila de Bavloi, the food that the people from Bavel are cooking tastes so delicious, B'yom Rabbi de Merava, the day which the people in Eretz Yisrael considered Eretz Yisrael, Yom Kippur. And how incredible, he commented, it was that people in Bavel were eating on the day that Eretz Yisrael, they considered Yom Kippur. So Tosfos says, asks the question, that if indeed today, according to Levi, was Yom Kippur, so how could he come on that day? So Tosfos says that it must be that Levi arrived in Bavel, but it did not involve him traveling outside his tchum. And that's why he was able to come to this place on Yom Kippur. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that he came right before Yom Kippur. In other words, the day that they considered Yom Kippur, according to his calculation, was not Yom Kippur. And since, according to his calculation, it wasn't Yom Kippur, he was allowed to come travel on that day. So he arrived the night of Yom Kippur, which was according to Yom Kippur for him, for them, was for him not Yom Kippur, and that's when he arrived. Amalei, and the reason this mistake was made goes back to what we have been discussing in our shiurim. Most years, Elul is not a 30-day month. Most years, Elul is a 29-day month. And since in most years, Elul is a 29-day month, the people assumed that that year too, Elul was a Yom Kippur, was 29-day months. And based on that calculation, that's when they made Rosh Hashanah and ultimately Yom Kippur. But they had made an error according to Levi, because according to Levi, that year they had decided to make Elul into a 30-day month. And since they made Elul into a 30-day month, Yom Kippur was a day later. And that was what he said was the source of their error. Amalei, so the people above said, we're willing to accept that we might have made a mistake, because we didn't know for sure when Rosh Hashanah was declared. Asid, so if you'll come and say testimony that they made Elul into a 30-day month, and therefore Rosh Hashanah is a day later, so then we'll accept today being Yom Kippur a day later. And from here, I saw the Pesach can point out that if somebody ate on Yom Kippur, and he made it by mistake, he ate on Yom Kippur, as soon as he recognizes that today is Yom Kippur, he should stop to eat. And that, because that's exactly what happened here. What happened here was that they had told him they had begun to eat. That's what he said. Kam bosom tavshila. Obviously, the food is delicious. Today is Yom Kippur. And if we're making a mistake, we'll stop eating. Amlu lo shemati mipebezim mekudish. So he said, I can't say testimony. I did not hear directly from Beis Din that they declared Rosh Hashanah a day later. And I only can say that so if I heard it directly. And as Rashi explains, that he knew that day 31 was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The way he knew that Elul was Mubur, because he had been in Eretz Yisrael on day 30, and being in Eretz Yisrael on day 30, he knew that they had not declared day 30 to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, to be Rosh Hashanah. So he obviously knew that Rosh Hashanah was going to be the next day, the day 31 of Chodesh Elul. But what he said was, if I did not hear it explicitly from Beis Din, then I can't say testimony. I only could say testimony on something that I heard. And the Ritva says This goes back to what we discussed a moment ago. That's why we could understand why he arrived on Yom Kippur, because he left on the day that wasn't yet Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos asks, indeed, Levi couldn't declare, as we're learning now, that day 31 was Rosh Hashanah, because he didn't hear it explicitly from Bezdin, and something he didn't hear explicitly from Bezdin, he wasn't prepared to say testimony. But as Tosfos, at least, but he knew that day 31 was actually Rosh Hashanah. And since he knew that day 31 was actually Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Yom Kippur should be a day later, so at least they should be machmer, based on what he's saying, to keep that day Yom Kippur. He was seeing that they didn't have to keep the second day even for Chumrah. So Tosfos says that since the Pasuk says, Eilu ma'adei Hashem asher tikru oisam ma'adam, and the Torah says, asher tikru oisam, when the Torah says the word oisam, it's spelled chaser, it's not spelled aleph vav sof mem, but it's spelled aleph sof mem. To Chazal teach us, atam afilu mishagigim, atu afilu mezidim, that even if you made a mistake, whatever Bezdin says stands. But as the Ritva, that's a very famous and important drasha. But that's only referring to Bezdin. That the Bezdin at Yisrael, who as we've been discussing extensively, declares when Rosh Chodesh is. So even if they made an error in the declaration, that declaration remains. But here we're speaking about people in Bavel. But people in Bavel don't declare Rosh Chodesh. And moreover, he says, they didn't declare Rosh Chodesh. As we've been learning, their entire mistake, their entire calculation of when Yom Kippur ought to be was based on their calculation, which could be very mistaken. And the Tori Evans says that even if they had made Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz Laretz, it wouldn't be valid. So what's Tosfos saying? That because they made a mistake, but the mistake stands under all circumstances. So the Ritva says, certainly the people in Bavel have to follow the decision reached by the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. However, in a case where they are unable to know what the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael decided, then part of what the Torah teaches us in giving the Bezdin this authority, included in giving the Bezdin this authority, is that even in the Bezdin in Chutz Laretz that makes a decision, as long as it's not knowingly contrary to what was Paskin at Yisrael, that's the Psak Paskins. The Tori Evan says that Levi left at Yisrael on the day that wasn't yet Yom Kippur. But the question is that how do we understand this entire discussion? We're understanding the discussion because Levi wasn't able to offer testimony. He wasn't able to offer testimony versus because he did not hear the Bezdin officially declare when Rosh Chodesh was. So we have here a chazakah, like we've been learning the entire shiur, that most years Elul is 29 days, and therefore Levi could not say different than that chazakah. But as the Tori Evan, it seems that if Levi had actually heard the Bezdin say that day was when Rosh Chodesh was, he would be able to offer the testimony, and not only would be able to offer the testimony, they would accept his testimony, even though it was contrary to the chazakah that we have, that Elul is always 29 days. And the Tori Evan asks the question, how do we believe an Eid Echad, a single witness, against the chazakah? So the Tori Evan says that even if Levi would have offered testimony, as the Gemara suggests, had he heard from the Bezdin that Rosh Hashanah was a day later, and they would have had to keep Yom Kippur, it wouldn't have been that they would have absolutely have to keep that day Yom Kippur, that they could accept his testimony unequivocally. Rather, says the Tori Evan, what would have happened was they would have kept both days Yom Kippur because of a suffix. Because since they had a chazakah that says that they should keep the earlier day Yom Kippur, And on the other hand, there was Levi's testimony of an Eid Echad that Yom Kippur is a day later. What it could have accomplished is that L'chumra, they should keep 2 days Yom Kippur. But it could not have accomplished, explains the Tur Yevin, that it would be absolutely only the second day Yom Kippur, not the first day Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Machris, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said this drasha berabim. Another pshat is that since Rabbi Yochanan, the Sifsei Chum suggests, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, but the announcement that he was about to make affected the people who didn't live where he lived, rather affected the people who lived in Bavel, far away. So that's why Machriz, it was an announcement that had far-reaching, geographically far-reaching effect. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan, Kolech de Mata Shluche Nitzav V'Lai Mata Shluche Tishrei. As we can well understand, it's much, there are more days in Tishrei for the Nisan, for the Shluchim to arrive to Bavel to let them know when Rosh Chodesh was declared versus in Tishrei. Because in Tishrei, we have Rosh Hashanah. In Tishrei, we have Yom Kippur. We could have two Shabbosos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, meaning there are many days that the Edom, that the Shluchim can't travel to let them know when Rosh Chodesh was declared. In Nisan, we don't have this issue. And every day they traveled. So the Gemara says, Machriz Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Eich Demati Shluchei Nisan, any location where the Shluchei Nisan arrive, V'Lo Mutar Shluchei Tishrei, but in Tishrei, they can't travel that distant, Lev D'Tishrei Yoyma, they still keep 2 days Pesach. Why? Zer Nisan Ata Tishrei. Chazal were concerned that if we're going to be lenient and let and the people know in Tishrei Nisan that they don't have to keep 2 days, because they know for sure when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was declared, they'll make the same error on Tishrei. But Tishrei, as we just explained, they won't know. So the question that Tori Evan asks, if that's the case, that we only accept the Shluchim and Nisan as far as they could travel in Tishrei, so why do we have the people why do we have the Shluchim travel any further on Nisan? They should not go there, because we're anyway going to have to keep 2 days. So Tori Evan answers that it's still important to know which is the first day Yontif and which is the second day Yontif. Because the first day Yontif, which is Yontif Deraisa, has different halachas than the second day Yontif, which we only keep because of a Sfeika Deyoima. And because of that, it was important that even though they're going to keep 2 days Yontif, we should let them know which was the real day. If we have a way of letting them know, we should keep both days Yontif. The Tor Yevon goes on to say that this is, as we explained, because Tishrei, we have less days to travel than Nisan. So ask the Tor Yevon, if that's the case, why don't we make a gzeir because of Rosh Hashanah? Nisan, we have more days to travel. Tishrei, we have less days to travel. But asks the Tor Yevon, Shavuos, I could understand why Shavuos we have even less days to travel. Shavuos is 6 days in Sivan. Because Shavuos is not really dependent, as we've learned many times, on Rosh Chodesh. Shavuos is dependent on when it's 50 days from when we started counting the Omer. So we understand why Shavuos is not a consideration. But ask the Tur Yevon, Rosh Hashanah is a day that barely anybody can know, because Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. So why don't we make a rule that everywhere should keep 2 days, even, and that would include a good part of Eretz Yisrael as well, because they can't get there on Rosh Hashanah. So Avdei Nezer says that for 1 day, Rosh Hashanah is so different that we won't make a mistake between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Pesach. In other words, what Avdei Nezer says is as follows. Pesach is on 15 days in Nisan. Sukkot is on 15 days in Tishrei. So if somebody keeps only 1 day by Pesach, he's going to assume that since they're the same day in the month, we still only need to keep 1 day of Sukkot. But that's not true, because the Shluchim arrive for Nisan, but they don't arrive for Sukkot. But when we speak about Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the month, nobody's going to confuse a Yontif which happens on the 15th day of the month with a Yontif that happens on the first day of the month. So the question is, so why do we keep 2 days Shavuos? If, as we said a moment ago, Shavuos is always known because it's 50 days after after Pesach, so why do we have to keep 2 days Shavuos, even we in Chutz Laretz? So the Sefer Shavuos Melech explains, we don't keep 2 days of Shavuos because we're not sure when Shavuos is. The reason we have to keep 2 days of Shavuos, he explains, is because of Pesach. Because as we just learned, not in all locations did we know when Pesach is. So therefore, Shavuos, as we've just been explaining, is completely dependent on when Pesach is. That's why we keep 2 days of Shavuos. So here we see that in Chutz Laretz, in the place where the Edom the Shluchim aren't able to arrive, they used to keep 2 days Yontif. So there's a fascinating Chassam Sofer who says in the Drushes Chassam Sofer, the loss of Lavoi, when Mashiach comes, will we still keep in Chutz Laretz 2 days Yontif? And he says that even when Mashiach comes, we're going to keep people who in Chutz Laretz during before Mashiach came kept 2 days Yontif. Those 2 days of Yontif will be kept. He says that even though when Mashiach comes, there should really be no reason to keep 2 days Yontif. And especially, as I sort of Mefarshim point out, we already live in a time and a place where there is much transportation and the communication. We can know a minute later what's going on the other side of the world. But once we've established that for whatever reason, and the explanation is, as we say often, that every din de Rabbanon, even though the Gemara gives a basis for the din de Rabbanon, there are many reasons midaraisa why to keep that day. And once Chazal established that in Chutz Laretz, or our Gemara is giving us the parameters, we have to keep 2 days Yontif, that rule remains even when the obvious reason no longer does. Says the Gemara, Rav Ivi bar Nagri, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ikla hu asur dava motu shluchin nissen v'le motu shluchin tishrei. They came to this city where the people, the shluchim and nissen, were able to arrive before Yontif, but not in Tishrei. V'avdei chajayma, and they kept only 1 day of Pesach. Says the Gemara, v'lema v'loi midi, and nobody protested. Says the Gemara, Shamar Rabbi Yochanan heard what happened, v'ikbid, and he was upset. And he said, Lav Amilchu, have I not taught you the Hecha the Matish Shluchei Nissan v'Lei Matish Shluchei Tishrei? Any location where the Shluchei Nissan arrive and the Shluchei Tishrei do not arrive, Le'ev de Trei Yoyma, you should keep 2 days Yontif, Zera Nissan Ata Tishrei. Says the Gemara, Rava, have a ruggle to have Yosef Tanesa Trei Yoyma. Rava would keep Yom Kippur for 2 days. Zimna Chada Ishtaka de Kavasei. And one time it was indeed discovered that what he did was the right thing, because Rosh Hashanah was declared a day later, and therefore Yom Kippur should have been a day later. And by him keeping 2 days Yom Kippur, he did the right thing. Rav Nachman, Yosef Tanesa Kula Yom Kippurim. Rav Nachman fasted the entire Yom Kippur, as according to his calculation, that was the day of Yom Kippur. Lurta, and that evening when the fast was supposed to end, also, who gave a person arrived, they had made Rosh Hashanah a day later, and therefore Yom Kippur was a day later. So Rav Nachman said to him, from where do you come? I come from a city called Maraya. So Rav Nachman said, Dam te achrisoi, because of what you said, Dam, people are going to suffer because we are going to fast for 2 days, which of course is dangerous. And Karele, Rav Nachman said about that person, Kalam Heim Reitfeinu, the people who are, they made it easy for us to suffer. So here we just learned a halacha, should we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur or not? And here the Gemara says, Rav Nachman was upset at this person who, because of him, they kept 2 days Yom Kippur. So ask the Tori Evan, why was Rav Nachman upset? He should have been very happy because this person saved them from an issacharis of eating on Yom Kippur. So the Tori Evan says that this person was an Eid Echad. And as we discussed earlier in our shir, An Eid Echad doesn't really have namonis to make a declaration. The only reason they would have kept it, the only reason they have to follow what the Eid Echad said, is because of a chumrah. So he said, because of your chumrah, we're going to suffer. Another pshat that the Sif Seicham suggests is that this person, we're going to speak about this more in our coming shiurim, was really not such a reliable individual. And since he really wasn't such a reliable individual, they didn't really have to accept his testimony. And this that they kept Yom Kippur for 2 days was only because of a chumrah. And because of it was only a chumrah, that's why he was upset. If you wouldn't have said anything, we wouldn't have to keep 2 days Yom Kippur. The Torah says, in Siman Tov Reish Chof Dalet, the Chassidim Anan Shemaisa Ba'ashkenaz, the people who are Chassidim, who are scrupulous individuals, Regilam Lasas Beis Yomim Yom Kippurim. They keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, and in fact, the Torah goes on, sometimes they even had a minion of such individuals, and if they had a minion, they kept the second day Yom Kippur, with even davening Kol Seder Yom Kippurim. And the Rosh disagreed. The Rosh said that even if they want to keep Yom Kippur, they should only keep Yom Kippur privately. But to keep it in public, where it's going to be like this guy to do, some people are going to work, and some people are keeping this day Yom Kippur and going to shul and davening like we're davening Yom Kippur, the Rosh said was inappropriate. The Ramah in Siman Tov Reish Chof Dalet Sif Hei says, V'yesh v'chmirim lasa shnei yom kippur. There are some people that are machped to keep 2 days Yom Kippur. V'yesh l'zeh hatara. Says the Ramah that if somebody has such a minig hatara, he could be matted a nether. And furthermore, he says, V'ein lenig b'ham chumra zu. It's not a chumra that people should follow. Mishum t'yesh lochesh yov l'dei sakana. Somebody could come to sakana. So the Emek Dover says that there may even be a situation, it may even be considered Baal Taisif. Once the Ramah, and we learned Paskins, that one should only keep that 1 day Yom Kippur. So if you're going to keep the second day Yom Kippur, it may be Baal Taisif. The most Paskim of the opinion that it's not considered Baal Taisif if he does it quietly, privately. It would only be a concern about Taisif if publicly he's keeping a day Yom Kippur that no one else is keeping that day Yom Kippur. But if he just chooses to fast on that day, there are many people that fast on many days, and that for it wouldn't be considered about Taisif. Says the Gemara, Shalach Rav Huna by Ravin LaRava, Kachazes de Mashke Tkufas Tevis at Shitz Benitzer. When you see that the winter Tkufa, the Tkufa of Tevis, goes up to 16 days in Nisan, and on the 16th day of Nisan, it ready is the new Tkufa. Avril is only then comes Tkufas Nisan. Says the Gemara, Avril Ahishata, make that year into leap year, v'loy tachishlo, and don't be concerned for what you're doing. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says regarding Yom Tov Pesach, Shmar as Chodesh Aviv, v'sisa Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha. Shmar Aviv shel Tkufa. You have to be careful that the spring season, Shei B'Chedesh Nisan, it should still be before the 15th day of Nisan. And as the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, the Mefarshim explained that we're dealing with a situation where it's more than 1 day off. That means 15th day of Nisan has to be already spring. Because if it's going to be only 1 day off, instead of making the year a leap year, all we would need to do is make 1 month longer. By making 1 month longer before Nisan, we'll be able to have all of Pesach in the spring season. Here we're speaking that if we don't, that we're not going to make a leap year, the season, the spring will be 2 days late. If it'll be 2 days late, we can't make a month longer than 30 days, and therefore we should make it a leap year. Moreover, Tosfos points out that even though the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin mentions a number of reasons why we could make a year a leap year, and the Gemara there says that it has to be a combination of reasons. One reason alone is not enough to make a leap year. Explains Tosfos this reason that we're discussing now, that you make a leap year because Pesach should, all of Pesach should be in the spring. That everybody agrees is Midaraisa, and for that reason alone, we make a leap year. We can make a leap year. Amalei Rav Nachman Lahani. He said to people who went to travel in the sea,
Atin de lo yedisa bekvir de yarcha. You who are not exactly sure when is the moilit, ki chazisu sa'ar de mashlim liyoyma, when you'll see that the sun and the moon, when the day, the sun and the moon are equal, that means you have a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night, bira chamira. That's the day to burn your chametz. But ask the Gemara, Amos HaMashlam, when does that happen? B'chameso, on 15 days of Nisan. V'hanan, but we know, as we learned in Masechta Psochim, Ma'beisa Reverinan, that we burn the chametz Erev Pesach, which is not on 15 days of Nisan, but rather it's on 14 days of Nisan. Answers the Gemara, L'datu, the Magli Lama, they who travel in the sea, where you could see everything is much clearer, Ma'abesa Mashlam, that's visible on that type of a situation is visible on the 14th day of the month, and that will be a proof that's the 14th day in the month, the time to burn the chametz. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Chadashim, Mechalon Asa Shabbos. For 2 months of the year, we are Mechalon Shabbos. So Rashi explains, the Midaraisa, the halacha is that one can be Mechalon Shabbos to come say Eidus about the new month for all the months of the year. But Chazal said that we shouldn't do so. We should only do it for Tishrei and Nisan because the Yom Tovim are on those months. But as Tosfos explains Rashi, really one should be allowed to do this for all the months of the year. The reason we don't do it for all the months of the year is because because all the months of the year involve Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is considered a Moed, Rosh Chodesh is considered a Yontif, but Chazal made a Gzeira that we shouldn't. And as we're going to learn at the end of the Mishnah, in the time where we brought Kabbonis and Rosh Chodesh, we indeed were Mechal Shabbos for all Rosh Chodeshim. Ashnei Chodeshim Chalons Shabbos, Al Nisan Val Tishrei, Shaban Shluchim Yotzim Suria, the Shluchim will go out to Suria. So the Meiri explains, what does the Mishnah say specifically Suria? So the Meiri explains, as we're going to learn, originally the way they would notify the people outside of Yerushalayim when Rosh Chodesh was declared was by lighting torches. But lighting torches did not work for Surya. The angle of Surya versus Yerushalayim, you couldn't see those torches. So that's why the Mishnah is saying that even in a time, says the Meiri, where they relied on torches, in Surya, they were never able to rely on Surya's, on torches. Tosfos Yontif has a different pshat. Tosfos Yontif says the primary reason they traveled was to notify the people in Bavel when Rosh Chodesh was. And there are many routes that could be taken from by traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They chose the route that takes them through Surya because that's why they were able to accomplish that not only the people in Bavel became informed when Rosh Chodesh was, but so too the people in Surya. So because those 2 months, Nisan and Tishrei, are the months of the Yom Tovim, Behen, Mesakenes HaMayadois, since the Yom Tovim are dependent on those months, that why for those months we always send out Shluchim. Says the Mishnah further, Kshari Beis HaMikdash Kayim, but when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Mechalon Afal Kulan, for all months of the year, they notify them, Neitakonis HaKarbon, because as we said, they wanted and let them know when Rosh Chodesh was, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they brought special Kabbonis Musaf on Yom Kippur. Ask the Gemara, Shnei Chadashim, is it true that just for 2 months, the Shluchim go out, the Suloi, and not for the other months? For a minute, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, Al Shisha Chadashim, Hashluchim Yoitzim, they go out for 6 months. Amar Abaya says, Abaya Hochkam, and this is the way to understand a Mishnah. Akulon, in all the months, Shluchim Yoitzim B'merev. As we discussed, Bezdin declares Rosh Chodesh in the morning, but teaches us our Mishnah that even though Bezdin is only going to declare Rosh Chodesh in the morning, the Shluchim know the night before that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. You know, since, as we keep on saying, the Jewish month can only be 29 or 30 days. So if you have a 30-day month, we know for sure that tomorrow is going to be day one of the next month. So yes, Bezdin went through the procedure of declaring Rosh Chodesh the next morning, but the night before, they already knew it's Rosh Chodesh. So for all the months of the year, the Edom left, the Shluchim left, even though they hadn't actually heard the Beis Din make this declaration. Even though they hadn't heard the actual declaration. But when we speak about Nisan Tishrei, we want to hear officially, expressly from the Beis Din that today is Rosh Chodesh, because these months are so important. All the Yom Tovim depend on these months, and therefore we did not send them out until the Beis Din, until the Edom heard the Beis Din make that declaration. For 4 months of the year, the Shluchim already go out the night before. However, on Nisan V'Tishrei, they don't go out until they hear the Beis Din make this announcement. Tana Rabbanan. So it begins the Gemara. As we began this sugya, that we're allowed to be Michal Shabbos to come tell Beis Din, the Edom to come tell Beis Din that they saw the new month. Ask the Braisa, Menayim Shemichal Leim Asa Shabbos. How do you know we're Michal Shabbos for 4 months of the year? Tam Aloimer, Elamade Hashem, Ashatikr Oysa B'Me'adam. That for all purposes will let it be Michal Shabbos. Yochel, Shem Shemichal Ashiskachu. Do we allow Michal Shabbos to make the month into Rosh Chodesh? Kach Michal Ashiskaimu. We'll let us send out Shluchim to notify all the locations when is Rosh Chodesh, so they should know when Rosh Chodesh is. Tamaloimer, Ashatikroi Sam. A kriyas about the Michalu, you could be Michal Shabbos in order for the Edom to come say that they saw the new moon. However, you can't send out shluchim to let everybody know when Rosh Chodesh was declared. And so we learned further in the Mishnah, says the Gemara, for 4 months of the year, they declared when they went. The Edom came. Mishchar Beis Hamikdash. Amalam Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chi yesh karban. He said, why should we be allowed to be Michal Shabbos? There's no karban anyway. Heskinu. And at that point, they established Shlei Michalim El Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei Bevad. For the only 2 months we allowed this to happen was for Nisan and Tishrei. Says the Mishnah. Ben Shanir Balil. Whether the moon was seen, or Ben Shalai Nir Balil, when it was not seen, we are Michal Shabbos. In other words, what the Mishnah is trying to say, as we're going to learn, is that since if the moon was visible, we could assume that in the Beis Din Yerushalayim, the moon was also visible. And since it was also visible, there's no reason to be Michal Shabbos because they knew. It says the Mishnah that we are allowed to be Michal Shabbos. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, since it's so important to determine when Rosh Chodesh is the proper time, even though it's quite probable that they knew in Yerushalayim when Rosh Chodesh was declared, but it's not certain. And since it's not certain, we're allowed to be Michal Shabbos. Another pshat that the Sfas Emes says that if we're going to start telling Edom not to come say their testimony this month, and this month, maybe there's a good reason not to have to come say the testimony. It's all obvious that everybody could see the new moon. The next month, it's not going to be that way. But these people will have become accustomed that you don't have to announce that you don't have to come always. And in order to avoid that, we made up that they should always come. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Ben Shanir Balil, Ben Shanar Loinir Balil, Michal of Shabbos. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Im Nil Balil, if it's seen obvious, ein Michal Shabbos, we shouldn't be Michal Shabbos. And as the Ritva explains, but Rabbi Yossi agrees that Midaraisa you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi is saying there's a Gzeira Drabonon that we shouldn't do it because we don't want to be Michal Shabbos if there is no reason to be Michal Shabbos. And says the Mishnah, Master Shavu Yossi Maboim Zug, there were 40 pairs of Edom that were traveling to Yerushalayim because they saw the new moon. Vikvam, Rabbi Kiva Balud, Rabbi Kiva did not let them go. Sholach Leir of Gamliel, Ima Akav Atos Rabim, if you're going to stop people from going to say this testimony, Nimtzas Mechshin Lasolavai, in the future, they won't come when we need them to come. So the simple way of learning the Mechloikas between Rabbi Kiva and Reb Gamliel, is that Rekiva and Gamliel's machloikis is the same machloikis as the Tanakama and Reb Yossi. That the Rekiva held like Reb Yossi, that only when we need the Edom to go do we allow them, otherwise we don't. And Reb Kiva hold, Reb Gamliel hold now, like the Tanakama, that we always let them go. But there are others that explain that Reb Gamliel and Reb Kiva both agree with the Tanakama. And just because the moon was seen, Reb Kiva does not agree with Reb Yossi that we're not going to let the Edom, we're going to hold back the Edom. What happened over here was, explain the Mefarshim, what I saw this pshat from the Aruch HaNer, is what happened was that the first pair of Edom went. And of course, even though the moon was seen clearly, Reb Kiva agreed with the Rabbanan that Edom are allowed to go to Yerushalayim under all circumstances. What Reb Kiva did was, he said, once we allowed this first pair of Edom to go, there is no reason to allow more Edom to go. And what the Mar means, what the Mishnah means to say was, Reb Kiva allowed them to go, he just didn't let the extra pairs of Edom go. And Gamliel disagreed, and he said, if we hold back any pair of Edom, then that may cause that in the future they won't go when they ought to go. But the first pair of Edom, certainly even Reb Kiva allowed them to go. Says the Gemara, "My mashmad hay alil lishn de miglihu." As we explained, the word alil is clear. Where do we see that? That's the definition of the word alil. Amravu amakra, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Imris Hashem amaris tahiris kesef tzaruf balil." It's the clear mezukash vasayim. The words of Hashem are clear and refined, just like something which is refined 49 times. Rishmo, so once we learn this pasuk, says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Chanamar Chamish Sher Bina Nivra Boilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 50 sharm of understanding. V'kulam nitun l'moshe chosa echad. Shenema v'tachsreyu miat malakim. So I saw that Rav Chaim Brisker explained why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold back the 50th Sher Bina from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Reb Chaim Brisker explained that part of what we're supposed to believe, a Jew is supposed to live with Amunah. If Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding would have been so absolutely clear that he could even see Chamishim Sher Bina, he could see even that, then he wouldn't have to have Amunah. And Amunah is a mitzvah that applies to all of us. It's the most fundamental mitzvah that applies to us. So in order to avoid that Moshe Rabbeinu should be deprived of the mitzvah of Amunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him only 49, even though he was deserving of 50. I saw another sefer that Moshe Rabbeinu really received 50 Sher Bina. But Moshe Rabbeinu gave it back, because Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was the on of Mikol Adam. Another pshat that I saw, that Moshe Rabbeinu originally, and that seems to be a wonderful pshat in the pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu originally was given all 50 Sher Bina. But after the Chet HaEgel, even though of course Moshe Rabbeinu did not participate in the Chet HaEgel, but all of Klal Yisrael, including Moshe Rabbeinu, were affected by the Chet HaEgel. That's why v'tachasreyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'tachasreyu ma'at, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a little away from him. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a little away from him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from him the 50th Sher Bina that otherwise he would have had. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, Bikish Koheles limtza divrei chayfetz. Bikish Koheles liyus kamaisha. Koheles wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu and get to the same level of understanding as Moshe Rabbeinu. Yotzu baska v'omer, v'omeloi de baska came and said to him, v'koysuv yosha divrei emes, v'leklam novi oi b'Yisrael kamaisha. No one else could be on the madrega that Moshe Rabbeinu was. You can't come to that madrega. V'chad amar, v'nevim loikam, there was no Navi as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. However, b'melachim come. In melachim there were Elman Mikayim. So if Shlomo HaMelech attained the degree of Moshe Rabbeinu, ask the Gemara, how do we understand the pasuk of Bikish Kelos Lili Tzoy Divrei Chayfetz, if he was indeed equivalent? Says the Gemara, Bikish Kelos Lodin Dinah Shebelev. Kelos wanted to be able to paskin a shaila, like through just knowing and understanding what a person did without edim. Shloib edim v'shloib asra. Yotz baska v'amra because of yoshed dever emes a pishnei edim. You have to always have edim. So we could understand that understanding what's doing in someone's heart, we could know if he was a mezer or a shogeg. But ask the mefarshim, how could by knowing what's doing in someone's heart, will we know, how could that take over the issue of asra? So mefarshim explained that the entire purpose of giving asra is that a person should not be able to say, well, if I would have been warned, I wouldn't have done the avera. But if you know what's doing in somebody's heart, then you don't have to have a, he could have said, that asra wouldn't have made a difference. So here the Gemara says, the bikish kehelis liyos kemosha. So I saw that the Sefer Yalkut Gershuni explains. The Gemara says, yugato metzasa tamen, that the only way somebody could achieve understanding of Divrei Torah is yugato metzasa, by working on trying to understand Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception. Moshe Rabbeinu, we say in the Tefillah on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe v'matnas chalkai. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a matana. And says the Pasuk, Bikish Kehelis Lias Kamosha, Kehelis also wanted to be Limtza Derechefetz. The Torah should be to him like a Metziah, something you find, something that you don't have to work for him for. Yotza Baskav Amra, that the only person who received the Torah in such a fashion that he doesn't have to work to understand the Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else ever was zoicha to the pasuk, to the madrega. So the Ksav Sofer asks, how could Shlomo Melech wanted that he should be like Moshe Rabbeinu? Doesn't the Torah say explicitly, "V'loikam oy navi b'Yisrael kamosha"? The Torah is very clear that no one will ever be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could Shlomo Melech even wanted that to be? So the Ksav Sofer explains that if we look at Moshe Rabbeinu was very unique. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was the Navi, the greatest Navi, the first Navi. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a klaria hamiira. He had a clear vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no one else had such a clear vision. And on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Usually, the qualities needed for those two jobs are very different. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person that was able to have that combination. Bikish Kehelis. So Shlomo HaMelech also wanted to have that Madrega. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, to have that unique combination, there's no one that's going to have that unique combination other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Ma'aseh Shavu Yosef Abayim Zug, there were 40 pair of Edom that wanted to go, and Rabbi Kiva stopped them from going and lured from going to Yerushalayim. Tanya Arab Yehuda, Chas v'Shalom Rabbi Kiva Ikvam. Rabbi Kiva certainly agreed with the Chachamim that we tell the Edom to go even though the moon was seen clearly. El Shizifah Rosh Shal Geder. Zifah was the head of Geder. Ikvam, he wouldn't let anybody pass. So wait, I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara, that in order to get from Lod to Yerushalayim, you have to pass Geder. So Rabbi Kiva knew that Zifer, who lives in Geder, won't let anybody go anyway. So he says, if he's not going to let them go anyway, I might as well not let them go. And that was what it means, but not that he actually stopped them himself. And says the Gemara, what happened ultimately was, V'sholach Rabbi Kiva, V'rida Megidolosoi, he took Zifer away from his position because he did the wrong thing. Our Gemara just taught us the halacha that Rav Gamliel said that the Edom are allowed to go say testimony, even though there's really no reason for them to go to say testimony. Everybody saw the new moon because we're not going to let them go this time. They won't go in the future. So this is what's known in halacha as the concept of a tirus soifen mishum tchiloson. We allow somebody to do something this time, because otherwise we may not happen. He may not be allowed. May do it in the next time. So this is a question that the Pesukim discuss quite extensively regarding Hatzolah members on Shabbos. Are Hatzolah members on Shabbos allowed to do Chilul Shabbos? Of course, they're allowed to do Chil Shabbos to save a person. Are they allowed to do Chil Shabbos to go back? Are we concerned that if we won't let them go back, they're not going to go in the future? And that's why we should say, Hitiru Soifam Mishum Tchilosam. The Magen Avraham in Simen Tav Tzadik Zayin, Sif Yudches, Sif Katan Yudches, says that the only time we could be lenient is regarding Anissa de Rabbanan. However, the Chassam Sofer says that Chazal have a right to even say it could be over Anissa de Raisa. And as I saw, the Masham explains the opinion of the Chassam Sofer. They say, we know that Fatsalus Nefashis, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do. Says the Chassam Sofer, Hetiru Sofer Mishtim Tchiloson is included in the heter of Hatzolus Nefashis. Ramoshin, the Shalos Tshuvos, Igros Moshe, Or Chaim, Chelek Dalid, Simit Pei, says that one can be lenient even with an Issa Daraisa because of a Hatzolus member could even violate an Issa Daraisa. The Micha Shloimer of Shlomo Zalman, in the Micha Shloimer Chelek Aleph Simen Ches, quotes the Tshuva Ramosha, and he says that he disagrees with Ramosha, but he says Ramosha was the God Lador, and if not that he had permission for Ramosha to write different, that he would have not written different. And he says that we could only be lenient with the Rabbanans because of a Tirus Sofer Mishum Tchilosoi, not with the Raisis. And so too was the opinion of Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, we could only be lenient with the Rabbanans because of a Tirus Sofer Mishum Tchilosoi, not with the Raisis. The Stipler quoted the Chazon Ish that was lenient even with the Raisis, and Rav Vozin Zatzal in the Shevet Alevi Chel Gvav Simen Chavov, even though he says we have the Chassam Sofer who says that because of Tirus Shum Tchilosoi we could be lenient even with the Raisis, he says that we should try to avoid doing any derises, and that's why he suggests that all the Hatzolah groups, he says what they should do is that they should have a Jew drive the ambulance or the car to the patient that needs care on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Chav Ches says that when it comes to Chil Shabbos, of a situation of Hatzolah Nefashis, G'dayla Yisrael, the greatest people in Klal Yisrael are the ones that should do it. But says the Shevet Alevi that what we should try to do is have non-Jews available to drive the cars and ambulances back to take the Hatzolah members back to their home because of a Tirus Sofer Mishum Tchilosan. Of course, there are many other factors to take into consideration in discussing this very important but difficult shaila.